Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Happy Thursday, Right Here in Mass listeners. Joining us today is Mark Mahoney, the co-founder of The Drinkable Company and an accomplished series. Mark has served in multiple roles and capacities for his own food service brands, from national brands such as Aloha Frozen Drinks and Maui Beverages to Powell and Mahoney Craft Cocktails and Atomic Coffee Roasters. His most recent venture is with Atomic Black Espresso Martini. Mark has helped countless brands launch through his own ownership in Vermont Bottling Company and has been involved with over 50 food and beverage brands during his career. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Please share more with our audience about you and what you do.
Well, it depends what day of the week it is. I'm involved in quite a few enterprises. The Drinkable Co. is top of the list. And Drinkable Co. came about 2 years ago. I had been an advisor to the first cannabis beverage company in Massachusetts called Levia Beverages, which is still number one in Massachusetts. I dropped off of their advisory board February 2021, and I helped a good friend and business partner in Maui Beverages go through terminal cancer. So basically from February to July 4th, he passed away July 4th, 2021, Alan Williams. I was with him almost every single day, you know, toward the end. And he died of liver and kidney failure, cancer. And during the last few months of his life, we had these deep discussions about cannabis and the medicinal properties. He was actually eating more. I used to joke with him, you're eating more gummy bears for sleep and pain than you are food, right? And that had a very beneficial aspect and effect for him because he was resistant to chemo and it was causing him all sorts of brain and utility functions. And so he said, all right, I'm done with that. So I spent, several months having those conversations, et cetera. And after he passed, I actually started looking at how cannabis affected me versus alcohol, right? And me personally, it was really a game changer in terms of my health, recovery, sleep, you know, measuring, you know, heart rate variability, pulse, all of those things. It was just night and day. So, I mean, most people experience alcohol when they're drinking. If you go to bed before midnight, you probably get up at 2 or 3 a.m., can't get back to sleep, you wake up groggy, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas cannabis actually allows you to relax while you're sleeping, you get a better and sounder night's sleep, you get more REM sleep, with cannabis versus alcohol. And so for me, I basically segued or transitioned from, you know, consuming alcohol to consuming cannabis in a beverage format, because for me, and everybody's different, your body metabolizes and digests the edibles a lot different than beverages. And for me, the quick onset of the beverage, is like a game changer compared to, it would take me 45 minutes, an hour to experience any effect from an edible. So I have to plan it all accordingly and, you know, to get the right night's sleep. And I said, forget this, we're going to go with beverages. So after Al passed, I had a friend who's an analyst. He was surfing in Costa Rica during COVID. He did a deep dive on the cannabis market and came back and said, you know, did you realize that one of the largest cannabis consumption populations in the world is from Maine to Maryland? And I said, I did not. And yeah, so he told me that he's like, hey, if you just focus on Maine to Maryland, the 95 corridor, you really don't have to do too much else, right? Now, things have rapidly changed in 2 years. However, that was the footprint that we started the Drinkable Co. on. I basically reached out to five guys that, you know, I had enjoyed working with on past ventures in the food and beverage space, brought them on, a couple as co-founders and a few board members. And I think we have 180 or 200 years. We're a bunch of old guys in cannabis now, right? And so We bring some great disciplines from, you know, manufacturing, operations, finance, marketing, et cetera, to the table. And, you know, our belief is that, and you can really see that I've never seen such a dynamic shift in any industry I've been part of. Beverage has always been, you know, a favorite of mine because it changes so rapidly, right? If you look back, you know, 5 years ago, nobody was taking prebiotics, probiotics. Nobody did, other than athletes training for half marathons, triathlons, marathon, et cetera. The endurance athletes knew what hydration was all about, and they used to custom, you know, to their body, to the event and things like that. And now, I mean, I'm addicted to electrolytes, right? So it's like, at my age, I'm 61, going to be 62 very soon. And my body requires a certain amount of electrolytes and water and specific nutrition, right, to be fired up through the day. I also drink a lot of cold brew coffee in the morning in the summer and coffee during the winter. So that gives me a stimulus to keep on going. But so what we did is we started with an objective of that Maine to Maryland. And we have a canning facility in Gloucester, Mass. With Ocean Breeze Cultivators, who is a vertical right there. And they do all the distribution. They help us with marketing, et cetera, in Massachusetts. We were quick to roll out into about 75 dispensaries in 45 days.
Wow.
In May of this year. And then we went out to, we went up to Maine, where with Sweet Dirt, we have a facility up there with them. And they're the same thing. They're vertical, they deliver, et cetera, et cetera. And so we work with them very closely. In both markets, we have our Zenith Cold Brew, which is our cold brew coffee with THC. We actually are vertically integrated in that beverage because at Atomic, which I'm an owner in, we source, roast, cold brew steep, deliver it to either one of our facilities. We can it, add THC, can it, and deliver it. So we have Zenith Cold Brew in both markets. We have our Tiger Teas in both markets. And we have our Swivel Craft Soda. And for each of those partners, we do a private label seltzer. So Ocean Breeze has a couple of seltzers and Sweet Dirt has a couple of seltzers. Heading out to New York on Thursday to talk to a couple of partners out there to launch in the New York market, and looking at the New Jersey market, having a couple of conversations right now. And so there's my, you know, Maine to almost Maryland, right? And 2 years ago when we started this, you know, those markets weren't even recreational at the time. So things are changing, you know, quickly, dynamically. And about 6 months ago, a lot of people started looking at Delta 9, you know, for THC beverages. So we see a sweeping reform coming up, and it's there are four to six brands into that market big time. And under the 2018 Farm Bill, you're allowed to put a certain amount of hemp-derived THC into those beverages and actually ship them to 30 states right now. And, you know, like Wisconsin, there are quite a few states that are actually allowing it to be sold through liquor stores, grocery stores, et cetera. And so that's really changing, you know, the shift in being able to acquire THC beverages very simply. And that was part of our, you know, one of the tenets of our goals and objectives at the Drinkable Co. was to say, we want to bring our CPG background to the table so that this is no longer a product or a category that people are looking to smoke, you know, a lot of marijuana. I would say most of the products sold in the marketplace are, what we see anyway, is 25 to 85 years old. The demographic is so wide because we've done a ton of interviews on site, just walking into dispensaries around the country, and people are, you know, 60 to 80 saying, oh, I need them for pain. I need them for sleep. And females are like, oh, I want focus. I want, you know, CBD in there with CBDN for sleep and things like that. So I think it's really the power of the plant is really come such a long way in the last 5 years that people really understand, you know, the basics and what it does. You know, the cautionary thing is, like anything new, you have to be very, it's trial and error, right? So the way your body processes and digests edibles would be completely different than, you know, mine or a sibling or something like that. So, you know, I just sent some samples out to someone and I got on the phone and I said, make sure you drink half of that. Wait about 20 minutes to half an hour to see how quickly, you know, the onset, how it affects you. And, you know, because some people, you know, it's a different, you know, it's a different elevated feeling. And for some people, they don't know what to expect, right? And they're like, wow, yeah. You know, I feel different. It's not exactly the same as alcohol. However, with our emulsion technology, we've got the onset down to, you know, 8 to 15 minutes, kind of that time span for people. And so it's very similar to consuming, you know, one alcoholic beverage, in my opinion. The effects are as long or a little longer, depending on what the ingredients are. Like seltzer is very light. I find when I drink the cold brew with THC and our craft soda, the Swivel brand, because of the sugar effect of that, I seem to get a longer tail of that, you know, that effect. Mm-hmm. And then the off, you know, coming off that, you know, one beverage or two beverages is similar what I see in compared to alcohol.
Yeah. And so, I think it's really remarkable that you took an experience of what you were going through with a friend who is battling terminal cancer and also your own experience of how cannabis has supported you and then turn that into a company. I think that's one of the best things or one of the best ways to build a really great company, I feel like, is taking a personal experience and making something out of it, just like you did.
Yeah, it's interesting because like I was transitioning during that time, and you know, depending on how much coffee I drink during the day, I tend to talk a lot. So I have investors and friends that I've shared my stories with. And, you know, I was talking to one of those guys like 3 months ago, and he goes, you know, I haven't had a drink of alcohol in a year. And I was like, really? And he goes, no, I've completely transformed myself into drinking, you know, he likes the tea. And I said, wow, that's great. I said, what brought that on? He goes, I was, you know, I would get home, I would have a couple of beers or a couple of drinks, and, you know, I wouldn't be present for my kids, and I'd feel groggy in the morning. He runs a big business and stuff. And he goes, I just was like, there's got to be something better than this, yeah. You know? And I said, wow, that's really interesting. So what I tell people is, you know, it worked great for me. So I transitioned about 80% out of alcohol during 2 years. And then personally, 4 months ago, I got diagnosed with hemochromatosis, which is worse than it sounds. It's actually an iron overload in your organs. I had a chromosome disorder that they found through a blood test, which was so bizarre in timing. Anyway, I went to a specialist and I said, all right, so what do we do with this? He goes, the only thing you can do is give blood until it pulls the iron out of your organs to make bone marrow and new blood cells. And we'll get it down, but it might take 2 to 4 months. So I have to give blood every Wednesday morning, right? And he said, the worst thing you can do is consume alcohol during that time. He said, it'll have a major negative impact on your kidney and liver. And I recommend that you don't drink at all. He goes, that's impossible for some people. And he didn't know me. And I said, that's no big deal. And he was curious. He's like, what do you mean it's no big deal? You don't drink? And I told him my story and I go, yeah, this will be nothing for me. So in 4 months, I think I've had maybe 4 drinks on a very special occasion. I will have either a Notch beer, which I'm a part of an investor group over there in Salem and Brighton, Mass, and the Atomic Black Espresso Martini. My wife, Stephanie, makes an amazing coffee frap with that. So I have to have one of those, you know, once a month or so. So yeah, those are my only. So I think I'm good. All my blood tests show that fortunately for me, they caught it like right in time. Okay. And I don't have any downstream damage to any of my organs, which is great. And but it was kind of crazy. So, you know, people ask me like, oh my God, you know, you've been involved in the alcohol industry, you know, with frozen cocktails and Paul Mahoney and da da da. And I said, well, this is what happens when you turn 60. I said, I call it Mark 2.0. I said, I have to transition, change my ways. And if I want to have a, you know, a physically and strong end of, you know, my life for the, hopefully the next 25 plus years, then this, these are some of the things that, you know, I will do that will be impactful, you know, and help me, you know, get through that. So yeah, it's definitely a personal journey that I converted into a business, and, you know, not really the first time I did that. And I'm not solving any particular, you know, problem out there. However, I am adding to, you know, I'm adding to the category and different channels of business, right? So as we look at, you know, the roadmap for our products, you know, we think that, you know, doing sleep shots and energy shots and things like that, that are natural, right, with THC combined with the right strain and some CBD and or terpenes and or other products similar to what are going on in the beverage, you know, space and CPG, like electrolytes, like prebiotics and probiotics and things like that. It makes it very easy for people to consume our products and have an additional health benefit, you know, if you will, to the products. So I've seen some great, products out there, you know, over the years. One of them comes to mind just because it kind of fit into my personal journey over the last like 2 years, called System. It's a seltzer, and it starts off at a, you can buy a six pack, and it starts off with a higher ABV, drops in half, and then has none. So you can basically take that to a party, start off here, right? Enjoy yourself for a while. And if you can, I can't consume six beverages, 12 ounce cans, but I mean, you could basically say, I'm going to be really relaxed and chilled out. I'm going to do the half ABV, and then I'm going to switch to none. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's the sociability aspect of, you know, being part of, you know, the group and not saying, oh, I don't drink. And, you know, you don't have to broadcast it. Right. It's just like, yeah, I'm drinking System, you know?
Yeah.
So there've been some.
Yeah. Going along with that, it makes me wonder if the Drinkable Co. has been a good substitute for people who are participating in Dry January, which now I've seen people participating in that beyond January, and they realize that they cut alcohol out and they're like, I don't even know why I'm continuing to drink this. I don't really have a reason to. And so just from what you've been sharing, it sounds like it could be a really great substitute or alternative for people who do want to be in that social sphere, but don't necessarily want to be drinking alcohol.
Yeah, there's been a paradigm shift over the last, like, I'd say 5 to 8 years. Dry January is great, right? My son, my older son, Spencer, is an endurance athlete, loves to run. You know, he's done all sorts of endurance races and Spartan races and marathons and all of that stuff. And I think the year before, he was saying, I really noticed, you know, especially with Athletic Brewing, right? Like Bill and his partner have done an amazing job with that, right? So they've got that out there, one of the biggest breweries in America for non-alcoholic beers. I had one last night, right? It's great. I feel like I'm drinking a real beer because the product is excellent. Notch, I have to throw that in there, has a great NA beer as well. And yeah, it's just having, you know, those, it's the comfort level of, hey, that tastes just like a beer to me. However, I'm not impairing myself, and I can, you know, participate at any level. I can drive afterwards, et cetera, right? So you can go out in a boat, go to a sporting event, go to a cookout, go hang out with friends and not feel that, you know, you're putting your or anyone else's life at risk. But exactly. What I saw 5 to 8 years ago was, you know, like Seedlip over in Europe came out with some great, like distilled properties in their beverages, right? Zero alcohol. And people started mixing those. And, you know, the bartenders and bar chefs really got behind that and embraced it and, you know, created this. And then all of a sudden you saw mocktails and, you know, all these different opportunities to take some products that have different, you know, mouthfeels and add different additives and things to it. And, you know, I mean, the sky's the limit. People are adding, you know, all sorts of mushroom derivatives, lion's mane and reishi and all these other things and terpenes now and, you know, to non-alcoholic to get an experience, not necessarily an altered state of mind so that you can, you know, be present and focus and do what you need to do. Right during the day, but enjoy it in a different way. So, really, when you look at what Athletic has done and some of the, and the whole non-alcoholic beer category has just been fantastic. I'm a big fan of Kit NA Beer up in Portland, Maine, which is a couple of local guys that have been doing a great job up there. So there's just a lot of opportunity there. And obviously I'm talking beer, so we're going to have to do a great couple of beers with THC. And that's like Nirvana, right? Getting a great hazy IPA pills that has a little THC in it. So yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's fun. It's been quite a I'll tell you, it has also been the hardest startup I've ever done. Hands down, no question. There's not a single straight line in this business. And I've talked to people and it's interesting. It's almost like every industry is a small industry, right? Whether you're in alcohol or, you know, smoothies or whatever. I've met so many interesting people that I've stayed in touch with over my, you know, 40 year career almost. And, you know, the beverage space has been just a blast, and it's a small group of people that, you know, do, you know, one thing and et cetera. And I've toured probably 250 food and beverage plants, you know, over the course of my career. And what you see out there now is, you know, there's amazing technology, you know, to make these beverages. The flavors and the flavor companies just do an amazing job. For us, you know, food safety is number one, and then consistency and quality and value add. That's always been a proposition of ours. So we're constantly trying to make the products excellent. However, we want to see the price point, you know, come down so that everyone can enjoy them and you're not paying $10 for a THC, you know, can of THC products. So,
yeah. Business and marketing advice meets laughing so hard you cry. Meet one of my business besties, Liz Teresa. Liz has been building amazing websites and unforgettable brands for more than a decade, and now has decided to share her genius with all of you. Every month, Liz is teaching on super helpful topics from Canva to newsletters and everything in between to get your creative juices flowing and more clients and customers rolling in. Check out her upcoming classes at lizteresa.com/academy. That's lizteresa.com/academy. See you there. And having your hands in so many companies in the beverage industry, what made you want to get involved in the beverage industry in general?
I was by accident. when I got out of a couple of years out of college, my wife went to hotel and restaurant school. She wanted to open cafes. So I helped her, you know, get those funded and built out. And we ended up falling into this, it was a yogurt business. And it was, if you've ever seen Yoginfruz, which started up in Canada, it was a different way to do frozen yogurt. It was like a 3 foot tall box. It looked like a slot machine with a handle on the left, and it had an auger in the middle, and you'd throw in frozen yogurt with fruits, peanut butter. No matter what you did, when you pulled that handle, it would homogenize it and make it a soft serve. And my wife saw that and said, oh, we need those in our stores. So I found out, you know, who made them, and you had to buy three machines. So I said to the guy, what am I going to do with three machines? We only have two stores. And he said, throw one in a local beach. So I went to the local beach in Marblehead, Devero Beach at the time. And I talked to Jeff Flynn, who said, oh yeah, that'd be great. So we did that. Then we put them in like six beaches up and down the coast. And then we needed, we started making, we called them pucks. So it's half the size of an ice cream sandwich, right? And we had flavors. We had yogurt flavors, vanilla, chocolate, coffee. And then we started doing Dole Whip, which was a non-dairy based, like it was like a sherbet or a sorbet. So we started doing those in the little puck format, and started selling those from basically Maine to Florida, and hooked up a bunch of distributors. And then my partner, Al, in that business, he was actually a competitor. We were beating each other up in that business. So I finally went to him one day and said, what are we doing? all the customers are beating us up at the show and you're lowering your price on equipment. I'm doing the same. I said, we should just be, you know, let's get together and do this. So we ended up merging the companies. And about 2 years into it, he was noticing a lot of our customers. He was very creative. He noticed a lot of our customers were taking the like pineapple Dole Whip and making like a pina colada, right? Ooh. So we're like, how do we figure out a way to build on that, right? And then what we noticed was, okay, the bartenders don't have a freezer that's convenient to them. They have to walk out to the kitchen, grab, you know, these pucks out there and then come out in the blender and everything. So I said, all right, that's not going to work. So we actually ended up as a redistributor for a frozen drink company called Tropics, which was started in Chicago. They're still out there. It's national. It's actually an international company. But we wanted to do things our own way. So we started a company called Aloha, built it up to over $1 million the first year, sold it to a company out of Chicago that competed with Tropics. And we didn't like the way they were running the business after a year. So we started Maui. We kept that for almost 22 years, sold it to our partner, which was Lyons Magnus. They were a vertically integrated grower, had over 1 million square feet of production, warehouse, storage, had their own fleet of trucks where they distributed their products to customers and distributors around the US every week. And so we had great benefit, you know, through them. And I sold that business to them 8 years ago. I had started Paul and Mahoney, 11 or 12 years ago now. And speaking of ways in which, you know, you start a business, I started that business on a whim because we had gone to several parties that summer and, Stirrings was, you know, very popular back then and, a cocktail mix. And everyone was saying, oh, this product's amazing. And, you know, I was, you know, being a beverage guy, I'm like, it's not that great. You know, and people are like, no, it's the best. I'm like, ah. So after hearing, you know, me debate people for probably 3 or 4 cookouts, my wife's like, why don't you make one? If you think you can do it better, why don't you just make it? You know, so that's how we ended up starting that business. And that led to having a manufacturing facility in Vermont for 6 years, which we sold off to actually another Chicago group. So big food and beverage investors and smart folks out in Chicago seem to like to buy companies. And
I was just going to ask that if there's a reason why so many of them have gone.
Yeah,
out to
just
Chicago.
Happened
Chicago
to be
a big hub.
Just happened. Yeah. Just, you know, some great people out there. Mm. And but during that time we were making products for, you know, Paul and Mahoney. We were making products for Williams Sonoma, Sur La Table, Loblaws Canada. So we were really busy. We took that from like 5,000 square feet to 35,000 square feet in 6 years and ended up selling the business. And they were smarter than I was because what they did was they brought it to Chicago and the freight lanes were much better going Chicago East, Chicago West than Vermont. You're in one of the coldest areas in the winter. Sometimes we actually couldn't ship product because of the temperature. They figured out how to keep our products consistent, but had migration to a better margin on those products. So they did very well with it and actually sold it last year to Fevertree, which is a great beverage company, public company in the UK. And I did notice, however, that our famous, you know, Paul and Mahoney margarita, Bloody Mary mix, et cetera, are now Fevertree. And somebody sent me a picture this morning of the Paul and Mahoney margaritas at TJX for sale. So looks like they're going to kill the brand and just transition it to Fevertree.
Interesting. But, and having your hands in so many different companies, how do you juggle it all with just being a serial entrepreneur and having so many things going on at once?
You know, if you ask my kids, I don't juggle them all. So I rely on, and my wife says, you try to do everything by osmosis. You know, no one's a mind reader. You just say, oh, you got to deal with that. And it's interesting because, you know, like building teams, right? I've found that people rise to their level of either excellence or mediocrity, right? Mm-hmm. And when those people that do rise above everybody else on the team, that's who ends up leading and running the team, right? I don't like doing the daily nitty gritty of running the business. I like strategizing, figuring out the pieces of the puzzle, pulling together a team over time that basically allows me to, and I just say it's because I have ADHD. And then, you know, after like 3 or 4 or 5 years, I see something else that, you know, that grabs my attention. And then I say, okay, you guys got this, you know, and I want to go. That's just been the process for me. It mm-hmm. hasn't been that I had a map that said, okay, after 3 or 4 years, I got to go do something else. It just happened. It was happenstance that's occurred for the last 20 years, you know, during my career. So mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, it's been enjoyable. There's always something new. And, you know, my partner Al would tell you, you know, we used to do food shows all over the country, Europe, Canada. We had Maui in 10 countries, and we would walk up and down, you know, some show aisles. And, you know, do you realize how lucky we are to be selling these beverages? Everybody loves these beverages, and look at the smile on their faces. We could be selling tablecloths or toothpicks, you know, at these shows, you know? So definitely a lot of fun. As I said previously, the market continues to shift dynamically into what the audience wants, right? So today it's THC beverages, next, you know, in 2 years, it might be psilocybin mushroom beverages, right? But there's always something going on out there. And, you know, people want different tastes, experiences, et cetera. So it's always evolving. So that's what's been exciting for me. And, you know, I think I get excited and energized by young people with, you know, they're just like, they don't see any obstacles. You know, they're like, I'm doing this and this is why, and this is how I'm going to do it. And, you know, they go out there. I call it, you know, running into a wall, right? Because as an entrepreneur, most people are either, you know, slightly crazy or, you know, there's one reason or another that a person is an entrepreneur. But at the end of the day, if they listen to all the people, oh, you're not going to be able to make any money, do that. Your price is going to be too high and this and that. And your branding is terrible and all these things. If you listen to 10% of those people, you'd never start a business. Right. So, I've been fortunate that I've met some great people that, you know, the disciplines that they have and, you know, finance and branding and strategy and all of those things. You know, nobody has that, you know, that in their brain. You know, you can't be left and right brain and be excellent, you know, at all of those tasks and responsibilities. So I've been very fortunate that, you know, I've been able to find the right people as mentors and as, you know, as teams and boards. We have some great people on our boards, et cetera, strategizing, telling us what we're doing right and wrong and recommending things. And, we really see the THC, you know, business coming. You know, it's gonna be a mainstream business in 5 years. I think you're gonna be able to get it in, you know, any place, right? And now it's just up to the states to mandate who controls that and make sure it's safe. I wouldn't have even got into the cannabis space had it not been for all the third party and independent testing. You know, we're basically seeing on every can that's sold of our product and every other product in these THC markets, you know, whether it be a Cannabis Control Commission, et cetera, an oversight company, it's that product is tracked from seed to sip, right? So, you know, that there's, you know, nobody dosed it with this or cut it with that, right? Because today it's scary, right? I have some friends that still buy, you know, black market weed. And I'm like, you're crazy. Why would you do that? With the quality, consistency, and safety controls in place that are, you know, at a state level, even in the hemp-derived beverages, you know, the COAs are tracked and everything, that you have to put it online, you know, where this came from. Does it have heavy metal? You know, all these things, you know, otherwise you're not going to get those products out to market. So, yeah, like I said, I wouldn't have got into the business had it not been for that type of traceability, because it's so important, you know? especially where THC is, you know, registered as a Schedule I drug, hopefully, which will be deregulized or dropped down to, you know, a Schedule III drug sooner than later. There's a lot of talk in politics, and Health and Human Services just said it shouldn't be, you know, a Schedule I drug anymore. So hopefully the DEA will agree with that, change some things in Washington, and make it ubiquitous to be able to put in, you know, food and beverage along with CBD.
Right. And so you had mentioned that you see THC becoming a mainstream business in the next 5 years. So with that being said, what do you think is next for yourself and the Drinkable Co?
So we're going to expand to more states. We are looking at hemp-derived THC beverages that would be able to be shipped, you know, to more people online. Finding the right co-pack partners in different states for that is, you know, what we're looking at right now. But, you know, our product roadmap, you know, would be definitely beer. Beer is top of mind right now. And potentially adding better for you ingredients to our beverages, like probiotics in the swivel soda, things like that, right? To make it unique and differentiated from everybody, because as we're seeing now, Massachusetts has become, you know, a very populated THC beverage market, right? Because Levia had such success so quickly. I mean, they basically went from commercializing the products in April of 2021 to having a deal signed, which represented on paper about $60 million exit. And they weren't even in business and selling product for a year.
Wow.
Which is unheard of, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's a great case study, actually, to look at. However, when you dig into it, you say, oh, well, it kind of fell apart and the earnout didn't work out, and et cetera. However, that's the case study. You know, how did that happen? So, you know, it's getting out to the right states, reaching the right people, getting the right audience, and building a community around, you know, what matters to us.
Absolutely. And so for someone who might be listening to this episode, who is interested in getting into the beverage industry themselves to start a company, what advice would you give to them?
Find somebody that's done it. Find a mentor. Mm-hmm. Ask for help. Don't try to do it yourself. But yeah, I would spend time meeting with people, getting a mentor or mentors together, you know, to help you. And there's so much commonality behind it. And I found that every time I reached out to someone, if I knew them or not, people are very, very willing to, you know, give you their time and expertise. And it's amazing because it's, you know, at this point, it's really giving back. So my wife laughs because she's like, you help too many people. You know, and I said, that's in my nature, because I was there. And when I reached out to people, they were like an open book for me. Right. And that's been part of, you know, that success. And I've tried to stay in touch with almost all of those people I enjoyed working with in different companies over the years. And, you know, and now I have a network where if someone calls and says, oh, I want to make XYZ, I can literally say, well, I can probably point you in the right direction, or at least get you started on that journey, right? Which, what's that taken me? 15 minutes, half an hour to have a phone call and point them in the right direction. So as you can imagine, I can't even read my emails half the time. yeah, LinkedIn, I get so many requests for him. Just like, oh my God.
But what goes around comes around. So all, like you said, you've received so much support and help. Now you're giving it back. And when you support someone else, it comes back to you.
Yep. Yep. So, you know, and I'm admittedly say, hey, you know, I'm the old guy in cannabis now. And, you know, I have some people that, you know, are like, oh, what are you getting into this for? And, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know what? I said, I used to smoke a lot of cannabis when I was in high school. I said, I had a grow back there. I found out that I was terrible at grow. And I said, so when I got into this, you know, 45 years later, I had opportunities to buy property. I had opportunities to invest in vertically integrated and grows. And I just said, I was terrible at that. I'm not going to make that same mistake at a much larger scale and risk a lot of investors' money. So no, I'm going to stay focused on what I've spent, you know, my career on, and stay in that lane. So, and that's, you know, that's some of the advice I would give someone else, right? It's like, what brings you into the industry?
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do? I've talked to high school kids in the past that, oh, I got this great idea. And I said, why is it a great idea? Oh, because I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing. And I said, I can name five companies that are doing that right now. And they have distribution in, you know, six states or one state. Or how are you going to break into that and be differentiated from them and be successful? Right. Mm. And, you know, one out of five might come back and say, well, this is what I'm going to do. And what do you think of this? And, you know, and then the other four will be like, okay, that was a shitty idea. I'm going to go do something else, you know? Right. So, yep.
I love that.
But yeah, the cannabis business has been, I'll give you a, for instance. So when we first started, we went through, three different joint venture agreements, doing our diligence. And the first three fell apart for different reasons, whether it be a landlord dispute where we couldn't get the property, you know, in time to, you know, be open when we wanted to be open, or something else. And it was like, wow, you know, we're like, remember that? That wasted 4 months of our time. Mm-hmm. So our initial goal was to launch last summer, not this summer. And we ended up launching late May this year. So we were a full year plus behind where we thought we would be. And yeah, it's just, somebody told me 2 weeks ago, I told him, I said, yeah, I admittedly, I think this has been the hardest startup I've ever done. And they said, why? And I just said, there aren't any straight lines. I said, it's just, you think you have everything nailed down, then something crazy comes out of the woodwork, changes your thought. And he said, don't worry about it. He goes, this is like dog years. Every year spent in cannabis is equal seven. And so that's kind of stuck with me in the last few weeks here. So I like to quote that one. I think it's perfect.
I love that.
So, yeah.
And Mark, one of my favorite questions to ask our guests is, what are your favorite local businesses to support?
You know, like, it's funny. I'll give you some history on, I had a great partnership with probably the most, you know, successful blender company in the world, Vitamix Blenders, right? And a good friend of mine from 30 years ago to today, Scott Hinckley, was in charge of commercial sales, right? And we used to benefit by, you know, working shows with Scott and the Vitamix team across the country as we were building our business. And I noticed after, you know, a couple of trips that, you know, we would always be going to like fast food places, you know, like we're going here, we're going there, and some of the sit down. And I said, well, why did you pick this place? You know, and he goes, oh, they're a customer. He goes, I won't support anyone unless they're a customer of Vitamix. And
like
I thought that was really funny. You know, so in cannabis, you know, that we have a lot of dispensaries. And unfortunately, I don't get to travel out to see all these dispensaries, but the local ones, you know, for me are like Starbird and Eastern Cannabis. And, you know, some of those relationships are from, like those two in particular are from my food and beverage career, right? So I know Tim and his wife from, you know, they're in the food scene in Salem with multiple restaurants, help notch out with, you know, a food program. Eastern Cannabis is owned by Scott Moore and Joe Selby, who's part of founded Cappy's Liquor Stores, you know, in Massachusetts. And, you know, so you can see the evolution of these folks that have been in, you know, food and beverage and to go out there. I mean, local restaurants, Salem's got a great restaurant scene now, right? Beverly has a great restaurant scene. I grew up in the summers on Beverly Harbor, and now the marina where we used to go over and jump on a guy's tuna boat when we were kids and see how many tuna they caught, you know, for the day, is now Mission Boathouse, which, you know, has several, you know, Mission restaurants across the North Shore now. Ledger's one of my favorite restaurants in Salem. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we used to have a theory that you drive up and down, you know, route A1A, right? And in the frozen drink business, we used to just call on everyone on the right. So if they're on the water, we would call on them because they were undoubtedly busier, right? and had a much, much busier business. And I said, we don't even go to the left, you know, but that's changed quite a bit. And so is the restaurant scene. And, you know, it's been difficult for people, but I would love to see, you know, sooner than later. You know, I went out with my wife and younger son, Logan, last night to Cala's in Manchester, part of the Serenity Group, who's an Atomic customer, by the way. And I had a, you know, an NA beer there. I would have loved to have an NA beer with THC.
Yeah.
You know, and be able to, because, you know, my wife had a glass of wine and Logan had a draft beer. And, you know, it doesn't bother me in any way. I'm fine, you know, enjoying their company. I don't have to have an alcoholic beverage. But if the playing field were leveled so that, you know, you had those choices, right? And everyone had those choices, I think that's coming, you know, I think that's coming fast, right? And I just see a huge drop in alcohol consumption overall coming because, Canada just came out and said, although they're, you know, federal, they pay for federal healthcare up there. They just went to 2 alcoholic beverages a week, right? That's their advice, you know, to their general public. And I think the United States is going to do the same thing. We're talking for a male right now, it's 2 alcoholic beverages a day. Think of that drop up. Not that anyone's going to pay attention to that recommendation. However, to go from that and realize that, you know, hey, it went from 2 a day to 2 a week, right? That's saying something, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, just my own personal, you know, journey and investigation into, you know, the health side of that. And, you know, you can just look at the news, right? It's like, okay, who died of, you know, kidney failure today, you know, lead singer, right? It's so omnipresent that, you know, people are going to start looking at it. And I guess it takes you to either have a health scare or have a friend have a health scare, you know, to realize that, hey, you know, I've got to really look at, you know, what I consume and put in my body and how I react to it and how, you know, what it does to my health overall, right? So, yeah,
absolutely.
I think it's,
And so it's a good reason why the Drinkable Co. is here.
Yeah. We're here to support all day parts, right? So we go from coffee to soda to tea and hopefully beer, right? So we'll pretty much have it all covered.
Love it. Mark, this has been such an awesome episode, and I've really enjoyed having the opportunity to have you share all that you've done in the beverage industry and your multiple ventures. And now I'd love if you could share with our listeners where they can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Yeah, drinkableco.com. And that has a link tree to all of our sites, and it also will show you where you can buy our products today. And you can sign up for our email to keep in touch. And Drinkable Company is our Instagram handle, and we're getting more and more added to that on a daily basis. So, well, I enjoyed meeting you, and thanks so much for your time and listening to my story today. And
thank you for coming on, Mark.
I hope it impacts somebody positively.
Absolutely. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.